You got we gotta get, go ahead, what were you gonna say? By the way, just let you know that me and about 5,000 of my friends are listening to you right now.
Unbelievable. So we were just,
but like, don't be nervous or anything.
Yeah, exactly right. This makes me more nervous than a proper media interview. It's much more important. No, just on the topic of what will happen in 2006, I loved your sort of top 10 list in essence of what would happen and the structuring of knowledge in OPML files of Harvard and Yahoo and New York Times seems like a hugely, hugely valuable goal. And no doubt but that some structuring like that ought to happen. It's the promise of RSS and OPML, it's the promise of Semantic Web, it's the promise of all these different things that have been brewing for a long time. It seems like the infrastructure is now there. But the other thing that I was about to bug you about was, I think that the one of the great things that come out of 2006 ought to be the aggregator that everybody uses, that my mom uses. And I think that one of the things that seems so remarkable is there is Bloglines and NewsGetter and the River of News aggregator, and there's MyYahoo, right? There are all these things that actually are doing it. But it strikes me this is the breakout year for that, and it seems like even though it's something that people have been working on for a long time, that will happen in some sense in this year, because it's just so unbelievably powerful, and hopefully people won't know that it's RSS, you know, in a sense that's driving it, but it strikes me as something that is...
So you think that will happen, or you think that should happen?
I think it should happen. I know it should happen, and I think it will happen. I think this will be a big year for that.
Cool. Hey, I should introduce you. This is John Palfrey, and John is the executive director at Berkman Center at Harvard Law School, and we're sitting in his office on Church Street in the Harvard Square area of Cambridge, Massachusetts. And John was just telling me about, what was it you were telling me about? Top 10 sources?
Yeah, working on
Top 10 sources, which is a new service. Is that the name of it?
It is Top 10 Sources.
And what's the URL?
It's top10sources.com, whether you use a 10 or a T-E-N. It works both ways.
Oh, that's cool. So you thought of both. Okay.
I thought that some people would think of both.
All right. Right. So then John's really nervous, but you're not nervous,
not
are you?
Not so terribly
okay,
nervous.
Okay, good. Because you've been on NPR and stuff like that, right?
Every once in a while, but I've never been on a Dave podcast, right? Whether it's Morning Coffee Notes
or
otherwise.
I've heard you on NPR. I was driving down the highway in St. Augustine, Florida.
That's so funny.
And I just have, I know.
I've heard that voice
that?
Before.
Oh, that's right. Who were you on with? You were on Diane Reem's show? Or
Could be. I've been on a couple.
You really? Yeah.
On the media I've done.
Really? No, this was bigger. This is like Talk of the Nation or something. Yeah.
Could be.
I like Diane Reem. Diane Reem's good. She's an East Coast thing, though. So people on the West Coast wouldn't know.
Well, you're an East Coaster today.
Yeah, I'm totally here. Right
back
here.
Home.
But it's nice and cold. Yeah. So anyway, so tell me about your top 10 sources service.
So top 10 sources is actually a fun thing that we're sitting at a conference table here at 66 Church Street, which is sort of a clubhouse hangout in Harvard Square. And every Monday night, about 8 or so people come together, mostly Harvard students, people, some who are out of school. And the idea is to come up with a directory of sources of information. So thinking about the web as having changed from a bunch of static HTML pages to a bunch of syndicated sources, to do roughly, not as grandly, of course, but what Yahoo was initially, which is a directory that points you to 10 people within some given area, whether it's organized by a topic like Web 2.0 or the original bloggers or knitting or running or some activity, or organized by place, so Los Angeles or Chicago or the Bay Area or London or some other place foreign, or even a university, which is what we're doing for the next month or so, is to say, who are the 10 interesting people blogging or offering podcasts or whatever at, Loyola or at Stanford or wherever it might be. And the idea is to introduce people. My mom, for instance, who would never, sort of doesn't know how to interact with the blog space, but also people who know the business, to 10 great voices in this way, and to present an aggregator that updates itself automatically, obviously using RSS every day, so that there's a reason that you might want to hear what are 10 great venture capitalists or 10 interesting voices who are writing about some topic writing on any given day.
So is this a web page or is this a feed?
It's both.
It's
so
both.
Right now it's about 150 web pages that you could go to at any point. So you could say, what I'm interested in is what's a great reading list on the topic of
But we don't have reading lists yet, do we? I mean,
no, but
but you're anticipating it.
I've been listening to you talk
right,
about
no, no.
reading lists, right?
But so today, if somebody wanted to use your site, they would basically go there and they would look at the HTML and they would see the top 10 sources.
You would see
right?
the top 10 sources.
And then there would be a feed.
The feeds are all subscribed to, so you'd see at
so
any
if I subscribe to your top 10 sources feed, then every day I would get 10 items, or I would get one item?
Depends on what you subscribe to. So here are the choices in
okay.
terms of what you would subscribe to.
Right.
So in the simplest form, you come to a page that is, you know, venturecapital.top10sources.com, and on that page you see a little
bit. What's venture capital?
This is the top 10 sources of venture capitalists, take for argument's sake. Okay, or running.top10sources.com, or you know, geek stars.
Wait, you mean like every day a new running.top10, or there would be like...
Every day there's a new top 10 source, that top 10 page that's
created. And that's maintained over a period of time?
Mm-hmm. So we have...
So if I'm interested, let's say, this is confusing, but
okay.
it sounds
I'll try
really...
to make it simple.
But it sounds really powerful though.
Okay.
Okay, so right now you don't have skiing.top10.
We haven't done skiing yet.
But you're going to.
But we're
going to
do skiing. We've done running and we've done...
Sorry,
running,
so right? let's yeah. take this for example. Yeah. So let's say on January 17th, for the sake of argument, you do
right.
skiing.
Right.
Okay. So when
note
I
note it, I'll make
right,
skiing
okay.
on the 17th.
So,
right.
So then on January 17th, I go to skiing.top10sources.com.
Yep.
And what will I see there?
You will see there a little blog entry by an editor, a student or somebody who has an interest in skiing, who's written up a little piece of context.
Right.
And they'll probably have some links to specific blog entries. And then you'll see 10 links to 10 blogs or podcasts.
Okay.
And then at the bottom of the page, if you scroll down, you'll have the page will have subscribed to those 10. And so you'll see a few days of River of News style.
But what happens when I go back there on the 18th?
So on the 18th, two things will have happened. One thing is, it will have been updated by virtue of whatever the skiing top 10 sources people have written in the meantime. So you'll be able to see at any given moment. You know,
who are the skiing top 10 sources people?
They're the best 10 sources that our editors have come up with. The voices.
Oh, I see. So it's an aggregate of what they've written about on any given day.
Precisely right.
Ah, so each one of those becomes like its own aggregator.
It's its own aggregator. It's creating that way.
And so if I subscribe to the feed for skiing.top10sources.
Yeah. You have three choices in terms of subscribing to the skiing.top10sources.com. You can subscribe to two flavors of OPML, which are on there, which render it in slightly different ways. Or you can subscribe to the RSS feed of the blurb, the blog post, in essence.
I get their blog posts in that RSS feed?
No. So
okay, that's good. You're not a spam blog.
No.
You're not
no.
trying to take their
We're
content.
We're not taking somebody else's content.
But
so
the OPML then is something that I could then use as a reading list.
That's the entire point.
Right? I see. Okay.
And it will be updated. So the editor who does skiing, a month later,
wow,
might say one
really
voice
amazing.
Has tapered off,
so
and one has come on.
So
that the sources would actually change based on, you know, if someone stopped updating.
So this is kind of like grows over time to be something like about.com then.
It is meant to be about.com or topics.net or any of these things, but in a way more lively, right? The point is, it's the content itself is not written every day by the editor. The editor is just choosing who are the 10 people we're going to listen to on this topic.
Does that change over time? Let's say if somebody stops, one of the top 10 skiing sources stops updating.
Definitely.
They're out. So it's like right. almost like a mutual fund then, in a sense.
Exactly right.
Your job is to keep that mix kind of interesting.
That's an awesome
Where do
analogy.
You find the people to maintain these things?
So it's a combination of people who are paid to do it and people who are volunteering to do it. And what we want to figure out is, how do you get this to be a broader community of people doing it? And so some of it is, we have a suggestions page and people email us 10 sources and say, this should be the homeschooling top 10
sources. And
that's
a pretty good way to get one.
It's awesome, right? It's awesome. And
very likely that if you have a good one there, you'll probably get it.
That's exactly
What happens if it turns out later that that person happens to be, let's say, okay, schooling isn't a good example,
yeah.
but let's say... it's blaring. It's yeah. blenders.
Uh-huh.
My brain doesn't work.
Right.
It's blenders, and one
blenders.
Of the guy turns out to be Mr. Waring. You know,
right.
the guy who submits it. You find out later he's a vendor of blending machines.
In the current setup, we would never take Mr. Waring's top 10 on its own.
How would you know
that
it's
right?
Mr. Waring, though?
Well, you wouldn't. But I would never take it and say, I'm just going to put it up there because
right.
I don't know who it is. Right. What we would do is then we would take those top 10 and we would run it through our methodology of, you know, how do you come up with a 10? And the methodology is part technical in some sense, which is, we want to know you know, is this somebody that other people who are in this space actually listen to?
How do you find that out?
We use a bunch of different metrics. So we look at what other providers come up with. So we're interested in what Feedster has on its list of top 500. We look at Technorati, okay. We look at Google Blog. We sort of take a whole bunch of different things and mush them into one technical
metric. So if they're just out of left field, there's none of the...
No one else is linking to it. It's not, you know, in the community, then it's not going to be one of the top
sources.
You
very politely say, well, that's very nice.
No, thank you. You're not going to be a top source.
You're not actually a top source. Yeah. You might try going to
the worst 10 sources.com. Right, exactly. And then at the end of the day, there's a bunch of editorial judgment, right? So these are people who you read them for a while and you say, is this interesting? Is it on topic? It's an area that interests the editor.
Interesting.
And then you come up with it.
I had no idea that there was so much to this.
Oh, good.
So Dan Bricklin did one for podcasting.
Dan Bricklin did a podcasting
one. So he will always be the podcasting czar as long as you...
As long as he's willing to do it and plays on it. And the idea was, you know, someone else can do my podcasting or podcasting too. You know, we can have lots of different versions of the same list.
So it's not like a Wikipedia at all then, right?
Oh, gosh, no.
It's
no,
very
no,
different no. than a Wikipedia.
It's very different. I mean, I love Wikipedia, but this is not what that is.
Not a Wikipedia.
No, the point is that there are so many people out there who are saying interesting things, and then there are very interesting people who are reviewing stuff and reading it. And I'm actually really interested in what are Dave Weiner's 10 favorite sources on any given
on
day.
On what? What would you like me to do it on?
I would love for you to do it on whatever interests you most at some given point, and ideally something that you would then update 4 months later, right? So in a sense, what I'm interested in is I want to know, you know, what is somebody who's extremely credible on some topic, who knows more than I know about it, what does he read? And what is he reading in any given moment, right? So I want to know, you know, if someone's a great author and I'm really interested in her writing, I might want to know what novel she's reading, but I also might want to know what are the 10, you know, other great blogs that she's reading. So one of the ideas here
I honestly don't have any topic that I think I have 10 great feeds for you.
There wouldn't need to be a topic, though, Dave. It could be just what are the 10 blogs that Dave Weiner reads on a daily basis.
And what would that be called? Dave Weiner?
Yeah, so I have a personal section, which is where I would put Dave Weiner's top 10. Okay. Dave's top 10.
Well, I actually do.
So Hallie's done one. Hallie Suit, your pal, and Glenn Reynolds has done one. There will, you know, we're dying
they
to have you do one.
Really, yeah.
So you can go to Instapundit's top 10.
I actually have one thing that I sort of have been accumulating, which is sort of like the top 10 public radio podcast feeds.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
only exactly have much it. More than 10, actually.
Of course, right. Yeah. Well, so that's the point. We always come up with 50, right? And it's just a matter of presenting the top 10.
Or not necessarily public radio, because I like to put, I would probably put Meet the Press in there, because he's absolutely infuriating, but he's...
But it's a must listen, right?
Yeah, that's what everybody says about me. He's that's like, he totally pisses me off, but I can't
but
stop.
But I have to read it, right. Huh?
When somebody said that
flow,
about
right?
me at Gnome, somebody said that about me at Gnome Dex. I said, "Well, as long as you're reading, you can
Can't
feel however you feel
that.
About it. Right. Just as long as
just
you keep,
relevant,
keep
right.
reading."
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what we're after is sort of the you know what.
Oh, I'm so
what
glad
is
I asked because it seems like there's a lot more to it than I had thought there was.
Thank you. No, it's totally fun. And
What made you think of this? Where did the idea come from?
Part of it, I mean, obviously. I've learned most of what I know about this from you, and I've followed a lot of what you've been saying, not only about RSS and the creation of Channel Dean was one of your ideas a few years ago, right? Which was, can you imagine if you had...
I forgot about that, Channel Dean.
Well, I think about Channel Dean all the time.
Kind of cute name,
it was a cute name, and it was a good idea, which was basically you can create a specialized web page with
You should tell people
news.
What that was. You
well, you tell. You, you know. It's
well,
your
Channel
idea.
Dean was... It was unfortunate. The timing was terrible. I did Channel Dean... it first came online the day before the Iowa caucus.
Yeah, it was like January.
Which was the day basically
right?
that the campaign imploded.
Right.
But the idea was that, you know, a presidential campaign is this incredible sucker of information. They published their own, they had their own publication inside there. Every day they would produce a set of clippings that was probably about 2-3 inches high. Okay,
right. Dave's making the sign with his hand.
Right, and they would send it around. Basically, every manager on the campaign, manager like director, a level and above, sort of like an equivalent of a corporate hierarchy,
right,
would get one of these 2-3 inch thick things every day because they were generating tons of press, and they would all read it voraciously. And there's sort of a clue that this was something that really begged to be turned into something electronic, right?
Why because, is it in that
right,
stack?
Why did and, they need right. to print it out?
And why does it only go to those people?
Well, absolutely. And why shouldn't it go to all the field people, too? Right. I mean, this was only the people in Burlington because they couldn't afford...
prospective voters, right?
Yeah, well, it would be nice to actually get it to the... But it was never discussed that it would go that far because it was still pretty early. I think, though, that a campaign, a national campaign that was running in 2006 or 2008 would definitely want to do this.
Yeah.
And... you know, want to have
candidates listen to you right now.
The idea was basically that we would have a custom aggregator of all the news sources, both critical and non-critical, of people that were covering the presidential politics, and put it on one page that people could go to and refresh. You know, whenever they wanted to find
whatever's
out what was
live,
new.
Right,
and the idea was we would scan. We were going to scan basically every 5 minutes, do a complete scan of the whole thing. Because the news was actually coming out that quickly.
Right, and it's only a certain number of sources. You just ping them and bring them back
in.
That's
kind of actually, John, why RSS is so strategic. I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, during crisis, in a crisis situation, like, you know, September 11th or whatever, we didn't have a great RSS network that day, okay? But if we had one, we would have really benefited from having all
the tools. And you had it at London bombings, right?
We did, and in fact, that
changed
was the
coverage.
Way I found out about it, was by reading about it from a blogger in London.
Right. And probably having a picture from their camera phone.
It wasn't long before there were camera phone pictures, but it wasn't the first. Actually, the 9/11, we did have blogs, and it was definitely historic because we also had a webcam too. That was kind of cool. Top 10 webcams in Manhattan would be an interesting thing if you had that mobilized.
Stream, right.
If you had that mobilized for, you know, actually, I would also like to see top 10 New Orleans blogs. I think would be kind of interesting.
Yep.
You know, I don't think there are 10, and I think that's a story that begs to be told. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe
these are great suggestions for editors. We'll do New Orleans and skiing.
Well, maybe we can see. It would be interesting to also have a section of your directory. It would be interesting to see a section of the directory that came from people who read certain blogs. So if you could like have metadata that's collected from your editors, and that way, you know, that might be a way to get your idea to become your concept. Mm-hmm. Now it's not an idea anymore. Now it's a concept.
Yep.
I mean, it's actually going somewhere. Become more viral is to let the bloggers feel that they have a sense of ownership.
I would love to do that. If I can figure out how to do it, that's absolutely.
Well, okay. I would say, well, we should, you know, obviously for people who listen to this blog, a lot of them are scripters and web guys and whatever, so maybe we should start a discussion on this somewhere, but it would seem to me like a right margin sort of thing where you list the sections that you've authored, or you know, I mean, if you've maintaining five or six of them, put it right on your blog so that your readers, and then connect the two, so that basically when you're doing one of these sections, connected to the author's blog, so that there's mutual flow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that you give them an incentive to connect the two things together. An interesting idea. I had no idea that it went that far. So what's next? What comes? Do you have any ideas that? The things you can do after this?
So a couple things come next. One is making it really easy for somebody to create their own top 10 list without having to write us the 10, right? I want to have a directory that's side by side with the ones that editors do and one that anybody else does, right? And so if somebody wants to make, you know, whatever, my podcasting or podcasting 17 or, you know, whatever it is, Dave's podcasting, that should be right there alongside with what the editors do.
We should do that with the OPML editor community.
Right. No, right, that'd be awesome. That's exactly right. And so one thing we'd like to do is OPML import, make it just easy for you to import an OPML file and just, you know, be up with it.
Import it into what?
Import it into the top 10 sources site, in essence, so that you have an OPML file with your 10 favorite ones. You just, you know, hit, we don't have it built, but you can imagine.
Is OPML your source? Is that how you create these things? Or
it should be, and it could be, right? Because
it's
on the outside.
What does your content tool look like? How do you create one of these pages?
So you log into a site, and you just, you can search within the URL for the RSS feed, or you can cut and paste an RSS feed from someplace else and put it into the page, and then it's got a little WYSIWYG editor, and, you know, it takes a half hour or something to create.
Who does that?
The editors on our team, basically.
And who wrote the software that you use?
It is sort of a hack-up of a bunch of different things, but Full Spectrum Software here in Framingham has done most of it recently.
Interesting. And is this...
Oh, so Sorry,
Pardon
no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, is this a company, is this a business venture that you started?
It
or?
Is, it is. It's not, it's a pre-revenue business venture, one of those kinds of things.
Well, really? No ads? You don't put
nope,
any ads?
No ads.
Why
no
not?
Ads. I think someday we might do ads of some sort, but I guess what I'm more interested in is create a community first.
Well, why not sponsorship? I mean, it seems
so. That's the idea.
That might
right.
make a lot of sense.
Sponsorship
like
and research, I think, are the two things that the company ought, in long term, to make money on. Which is, we've got a whole bunch of great fashion ones. There's a purses one. You know, there are men's fashion. There's women's fashion, which are unbelievably fun if you're interested at all in the space. So I think that the revenue model essentially will be sponsorship of a space. Generally, some company who is interested in being part of a dialogue with customers about some set of issues. So you can imagine a fashion magazine, or you can imagine Hermes, or you can imagine Prada or something, sponsoring an area of the site. And in return, they would get very modest, you know, an obvious product placement where it belongs, and then get some information from us as to, you know, what's being said in the space on an ongoing basis if they're not mm-hmm. actually following it. But I'd rather not gunk it up with a whole bunch of ads.
Yeah, well, it sounds like this should work.
Thank you.
That's
you're
interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. How many have you done so far?
I've done about 150.
Wow.
And so the
you
issue
do one
is
a day? Is that it?
Yeah, there are two a day that come up on the site.
Two a day?
Yeah.
Seven
so
days
at,
a week?
Yep. At top10sources.com, there are two each day that come up. And we'll sometimes rerun them.
So what were the two today?
I don't know, actually. I haven't checked the site. I'm not the editor-in-chief.
You're not?
No, absolutely
Who is the editor-in-chief?
Right now, the editor-in-chief is a great woman named Indigo Tabor. And she's been the acting editor-in-chief throughout this time. She's also been doing a lot of the technical stuff. And she's
so if somebody has an idea, where do they, how do they get in touch with you guys?
There's a suggestions page, and you can email it to us. You can send it to me at jpalfrey@post.harvard.edu, or you can send it through to pretty much anybody at top10sources.com. Yeah. We'll get there.
Sounds like you guys are open, ready to
we're
go.
We're more than open. We're delighted to have input. Yeah. And it's meant to be listening to the community and then coming up with a way to celebrate the great voices that are telling stories in the space.
Well, sounds awesome.
Awesome.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Thanks for doing the podcast. That's
right
so exciting.
On.
You made
well,
my day.
Well, it's easy to make your day then.
Whatever.
Okay, so this is Morning Coffee Notes, and I'm Dave Weiner. It's www.morningcoffeenotes.com. We'll see y'all real soon. Bye.